The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
Up next on The Believer's Walk of Faith.
That storm wasn't from God. If it was from God, Jesus couldn't have rebuked it. But he rebuked it because Satan was behind the storm, enforcing the curse to try to kill those people. But God had Jesus in the boat, and he rose up and rebuked it. So the power of God is stronger than the power of the devil. So where God is sending you, faith is now necessary.
Well, welcome to The Believer's Walk of Faith. Pastor Bill Winston here, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, we have an exciting program for you today. As believers, we have the power of God residing in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what does this power do? It brings us into the very best of God. Now, I'm saying that because there's a normal Christian life, and a lot of times Christians are not living that life. As a matter of fact, a life of defeat or a life of lack or a life of debt, a life of sickness, that is not the normal Christian life. Well, let's go into the teaching today and find out what it is. Let's go into it. It's called the normal Christian life.
Jesus was anointed. He said in John chapter 14, verse 12, he that believeth on me, the things that I do shall he do also, and greater works than he shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. In chapter 14 of John and verse 20, he said, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father where? In me, and where am I? In you. So the anointing is going to be in you. And instead of you having to go somewhere that you're going to have deliverance power within you. Your body originally was designed to repair itself. Now you know that because basically, if you scratch yourself, it starts to heal. Am I right about it? If your body functions normally. Your body also was designed to protect itself. If you try to stick your finger in somebody's eye, their eyelid closes. I mean, people who have contacts have to learn to wear them because their eyelid wants to close. Why? It's designed to protect itself. Now, you were built that way. Now, you can't go to the world and ask the world, can my body heal itself? Because the healing power comes from your spirit, and the world is not talking about your spirit. Hey, I'm telling you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, we have looked at our bodies scientifically, and that is what the world has taught us. Thank God for that. But let's go further. Your body has something called eternal life, and that's the power of God that's in your body to heal whatever's wrong with it. Now, what is the problem for most of the saints? Most of the saints, the problem is not is that they don't have the Holy Ghost inside of them. The problem comes because of the condition of their soul. Now, let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Over in Mark, chapter 6, and verse 1, I'll start there. He said, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples followed him. Now, who is this they're talking about? This is Jesus they're talking about. Is he the anointed one?
Yes.
Does he have an anointing on him?
Yes.
Now, so when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Now, what did he have on him that was performing this kind of wisdom and this kind of mighty works? Is that same anointing on you? Now, I'm just trying to let you know now, because what happens is God's trying to lead us into places where that anointing can manifest and demonstrate the power so people can be drawn into the kingdom. But somehow we standing back and got our foot on the accelerator and taking 1 hour to get from 0 to 60 miles an hour. And God wants us to put the pedal to the metal, step on in there, let the anointing of God flow, because where it flows best is where people are in darkness and walking in shame and so forth, and walk on in there and demonstrate the power of God so that you can be a sign and a wonder. People will know where to go and what they've got. So I'm saying to you, what we're trying to bring out is that anointing is on you and God wants it to work. Now notice this. "And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" So I want you to know, he's not doing it. What's doing it for him? The anointing is doing it for him. All right, now look at this. Is not this the carpenter's son? Son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. Now I'm just saying, they're gonna look at you and say, "Wait a minute, isn't this Miss what's the name, son? Isn't this her daughter?" See, because that same anointing that's in a man is in a woman too. See, that same anointing. Folks, I remember when we had Sister Boris went out, and one of our members went out with another one witnessing. They go witnessing on Saturdays. And they went out and was on the west side, and this man started coming to him very smartly dressed. And they said to him, "Excuse me, could we talk to you?" Now, he said to them, "You know who I am?" And they said, "No, who are you?" And he said, "I am chief," in other words, the big gang leader. He was the man. And they said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "I see that guy over there in that Mercedes across the street? He got my back. See the one over there? He's got my back. See this one over here? He's got my back." They said, "Well, that's good." And one of them said, "Well, shake my hand then." And he made the mistake of shaking the hand. And when he watched this, he reached out to shake the hand, the power of God hit him and laid him flat down on that ditch. Listen, this actually happened. Laid him flat on that sidewalk. Those Mercedes pulled up from everywhere. And you know, they was all loaded. You know, they "Hey, what'd you do? What happened?" They said, "Nothing happened to him. The Holy Spirit just arrested him." He was on the ground just like that. Got up and got saved. Now, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was wise enough to not send some men over there, but send two women who got the same power. Come on, you got to understand this, see? All right, now let's look at the rest of this. And look what he says here. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not these his sisters here with us?" And they were what? They were offended at it. "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kinfolk and in his own house. He could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them." One translation says, people with headaches or minor ailments. Nothing really big. "And he marveled because of their" what? "Unbelief. And he went around about the villages" what? "Teaching." Notice what happened. He's anointed. Goes to his own folk. And hardly any miracles take place. Now this was Jesus. And they didn't take place because of their what? Unbelief. So unbelief can stop the power of God from flowing in you and flowing through you. You are so designed that your body repair itself. Watch this. But it won't if you got unbelief. So what does the enemy try to do? He tried to convince your mind that you don't have repair capability inside of you. And God says you do. And I'm saying it's time for the church to be independent of the world. Now, I'm not saying that we have to, you got medication, I'm going to go home and throw my medication away. You better get your faith together before you throw something away. My point to you is, you were designed not to go to the world for promotion. Your promotion, the Bible says, does not come from the east or the west or the south. It comes from God. You were designed not to go to the world to try to beg them for money. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need. And God can make you much richer than five jobs can take care of you. You were not supposed to go to the world for anything except to save them and get them into the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is self-sufficient. That it takes care of its citizens and it'll take care of you in style. I'm just saying, people tired of being where they are. People tired of hanging on and barely getting money and so forth. People tired of being sick. People tired of just laying up and waiting for a job to come. I'm saying the anointing is not going to have the storm to gradually pass. It'll stop the storm right where it is. When you deal with that anointing, you're dealing with Amos 9:13, where the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. The moment you pray, that prayer is going to be manifest. Glory to God. I'm just saying, this is where we're going now. We're going to a place where the church has never been before. Now, Jesus gave you the mission statement. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, so forth and so on. But if you go to Isaiah 61, and in Isaiah 61, now the part that Jesus didn't read is coming up, and this is going to be the church's mission statement. So Jesus read the part. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But in verse 2 of Isaiah 61, he said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and sat down. And then that was all he was supposed to do. But the book now has been reopened. And it's been reopened by the Holy Ghost. Because this is the church age. Yes, this is the time that God's going to send you into places that you're going to bring them on the kingdom jurisdiction. And here's the deal. Everything that Satan has is stolen.
Yes, sir.
Everything he has is stolen. And you're going to realize that by revelation, that he's got people holding stuff that belongs to the people of God. In the last days, he said, the wealth of the sinner, Proverbs chapter 13, 22, is laid up for the just. Now, it's not laid up for the just for you to just keep it and hold it, but it's laid up for the just for you to be blessed, but for you to bless somebody else as well. Are y'all with me here? Look what he says over in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 2. And that's the mission statement for the church. Watch this. He said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and that was the end of that. But now is come the end time. Now it's come the latter rain. Now it's come this end time church operation.
Yes, sir.
And he said this. He said, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort, glory to God, all that mourn, glory to God, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What does he mean by that? He means that you won't have a lack of joy anytime else in your life. That whatever's been making you sad is going to be removed out of your life. Whatever's been keeping you from your destiny is going to be stopped cold. He said, called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Look at the next part of that. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair waste cities, and the desolation of many generations. Now, let me just stop right there. If you look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, now, this is when they got to the other side. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this is because this is related to that storm. That storm wasn't from God. If it was from God, Jesus couldn't have rebuked it. But he rebuked it because Satan was behind the storm, enforcing the curse to try to kill those people. But God had Jesus in the boat, and he rose up and rebuked it. So the power of God is stronger than the power of the devil. So where God is sending you, faith is now necessary. It's going to have to be in your life. Say amen to that. And now look what happened in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came into the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. Glory to God. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with chains and bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Now, what am I saying? Look at the devil's power. The devil has a counterfeit anointing. That he's got these demons giving this man empowerment, so that no natural chains could hold him.
Yes. Come on, come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what is this man doing? He is being used by the devil to protect that whole shoreline. Now, when you think of waterways in the Bible, you think of trade.
Yes, that's right.
So there's money to be made.
Yeah.
So what is he doing? He's controlling the money. He's controlling the currency. See? And as he's controlling that, he's trolling it through demons. So it's not the man's strength that's controlling the currency. It is the demon's strength. So demons are using spiritual forces to win over people like you. But now you've come into an anointing. You've come into the understanding that what he is holding belongs to me. Are you following what I'm saying? And now God is sending you into those places. Why? You're not going to only rescue the people, but you're going to take back the property. So it's about to be some big real estate holders in the sound of my voice. God is about to give you some big real estate. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm saying this is from God. And the way you're going to get it is not to get it by the natural means. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, the violent take it by force. Now, what does it mean? You're going to get a gun and stick up somebody and say, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. No, that's not what he said. He said that, and the violent take it by force. Now, my point to you is that you're going to take it by force. Force of what? Faith. So you're going to use your faith to have God to transfer it over to your hand. Now, you're not going to know how to get it until you go get it. See, when you go get it, he's going to give you the strategy for getting it. You ain't going to sit here and just get it all. You're going to get up and as you go, strategies are going to come. Folks, Well, my wife and I, we come into our first house that we bought in Minnesota, and I said, we went around and looked at all these houses, and after we looked at them, they were nice houses. I came back that night, after about 3 days of looking, I said, sweetheart, God's word told me to ask you, which one of these do you like? She said, you mean, which one can we afford? I said, that ain't what God told me to tell you. See, the reason why God didn't tell me to tell her that is because they all paid for. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. They all paid for. Not only the house, it's the land, the complex, the apartment buildings. It shall be when the Lord shall bring you into the land which he sware to your fathers to give you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you didn't even build, and houses full of all good things, that you didn't even fill. I had some saint to come to me that, well, how about a car? He didn't say nothing in the Bible about a car. I said, the car is in the garage. Now, my point to you is stop, wait a minute. You got something under the hood. God is going to lead you into places. Why? He's going to use these people right here to take back what has been stolen. And everything Satan is holding is stolen. Somebody said, well, wait a minute. They got a title on that property. Put Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 in the Amplified. Put it up on the board, please. Let me help you. Here's what he said. Now, faith is the substance, the assurance, the confirmation, the what? Title deed. If you got faith, you got the title. See, there's a title on earth and there's a title in heaven. Jesus said, let me tell you, I need a donkey. Go in town, you're going to see a donkey tied up. He said, now this donkey has never been ridden. This is a brand new donkey right off the showroom floor. He said, I want you to untie him and bring him to me. If the man who's got him says, what you doing with my donkey, you tell him this, the Lord has need of him. Whatever you got need of to get the gospel out to the world, God is going to give it to you. What is God's anointing? According to Isaiah 10:27, it is God's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. Let me say it like this. It's God's power on human flesh to do what only God can do. All right, let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking here. And if you look at it in the Amplified, it goes just another degree further. He says, I have strength for all things in Christ, who empowers me, underline, empowers me, put it in your Bible, empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. Glory to God. So it's interesting how man was made to operate on God's level. Now, I'm not trying to make God, man, big God. You know he's not big God. He'll never be big God. But he's designed to operate in the God class. So mankind was made to speak to things. Come on now, help me somebody. And those things obey him. We were made to believe things we couldn't even see. Plus, we were made to live forever. A lot of people have problems with that, but how old do you suppose to be or live, how old does the Bible say you should live? 120 years old. You can count the people on one toe who are living 120 years. My point to you is, why are people not doing that? And there must be something, because he is saying here, there's something being revealed to you in the latter days that wasn't revealed to them. Are you following what I'm saying? Matter of fact, he says, over in Ecclesiastes, I think, chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than beginning. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, I think, is verse 40. God having provided some better things for us. Better revelation means better manifestation. So when I look at you and I and long life, one of the things that we discovered is that the body is supernaturally designed to repair itself. Now, somebody said, well, how can that be? Because you've got to repair her inside of you. Glory to God. Got to repair. Once you get born again, then Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, understand when I say repair itself, I mean it'll fix itself. I'm not talking about you scratch your arm and the thing repairs. I'm talking about some organ that may go bad. Say amen. That you, Christ in you is designed to repair everything. See, either repair it or replace it. That's good preaching right there. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Now, I want you to look at this in a couple of different translations. Look what he says here. Romans 8 and 11, he says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, let's look at that in another translation. How about another translation here? That's the Amplified. If the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Say, the Bible is true. See, I'm not asking you what you think, because one of the things you got to find out by coming into the kingdom of God, God is not asking you your opinion. He's telling you your opinion. Your opinion is in the book. The book says with long life, he's going to satisfy you. Say amen to that. So with that, we've got to submit to the word of God. In other words, it's got to be the supreme authority in our lives. Amen. You need to pray for your pastor. Amen. Well, I didn't like what he said. Hey, I'm not asking you whether you like what he said. If you've read it out that book, you need to say, okay, I receive that, and pray for it. And you pray for your pastor to hear God clearly and be able to exegete that word and break it down so that whatever's been bugging you won't bug you anymore. Pastor, he'll give you a word that'll bring relief. Say amen to that. Amen. I didn't mean to get into all of this, but. So, the soul is what needs to be transformed. See, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, that mind is so powerful. That mind will tell you that you can't do something. Watch this, and your body won't do it. It won't do it. Things are stored in that mind at the next level, are called the subconscious. And they're stored in there. And those things that are stored in there usually take place from 0 to 12 years old. But those things that are stored in there, and those things that are stored, you'd be surprised how they're directing your life. They're directing your life, you know, and stored in there. We heard mama say, you know, men ain't no good, so forth and so on. Then you grow up and wonder why you can't get married. Or get married and can't stay. Because that tape is playing. But you come in here for a rewrite. Amen. We're going to take Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and put it on you. Praise God. And it's going to tell you how to manage your mind. He said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, that's the Bible. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if it be any virtue, if it be any praise, you're going to think on these things? That is not an option. Sister Caroline Leaf, I saw her on television on TBN the other night, and she was talking about the mind. She said, do you realize negative thoughts release toxic things into your body? Negative thoughts release toxicity in your body. I'm going to say it over here again. Negative thoughts release toxicity. Oh, over, say it over here. Negative thoughts. Stop thinking negative. Yeah, I'm walking down the aisle and I might glance across you and you say, I wonder, does he know? I don't know and don't care because I'm not going to even think that way. So 3 John 2, beloved, I wish you, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health even as I so prosper. So your spirit is looking for a connection to your body. And the connection to your body is your mind, your soul. And if that soul is not prospering, then the connection can't get connected. And so the power that's in the spirit called the anointing won't drive out stuff out of the body. He said, physician, heal yourself. That was a powerful prophetic word. Y'all with me? So we went to Mark chapter 5. And we look at this woman because I wanted you to see an analogy of how this thing works. He said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, come on, I shall be whole. All right, now wait. Come back to that verse and look at it in the Amplified. For she kept what?
Saying.
See? She kept what?
Saying.
See? Whatever you keep saying is where you're going.
Amen.
See? And many times repetition helps to transform your soul.
Amen.
Because you got to rewrite that hard drive. See, and reprogram that thing. And when you do, oh, you off and running in.
Amen.
Now, all she had to do now is touch the anointed one. See, she touched him, and as she reached out to touch him, virtue flowed. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came about, fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, what? Thy faith has what? What do you do now? Go in peace, keep going, and be whole of thy plague. This is the woman that got healed. Now, let's look at this same Jesus with some other folk. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. He went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now, wait a minute. Let's just stop right there. Now, we're going to start at verse 3. But let's flip over to John and chapter 14 and verse 10. He said, believe thou that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. This is Jesus talking. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Come on. He's doing the work. Where's the Father?
In
him. Look at verse 12, please. In verse 12, he says, verily, verily, I say to you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. and greater work shall he do because I'm going to the Father. Now, here's the deal. He is saying you can do what he can do. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. All right, come back to verse 3 again in that Mark chapter 6. And look what he says. Is not this the carpenter's son? This is what the people say. The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, wait a minute. I know this guy because he fixed my toilet. It was about 3 years ago. He came down here and fixed that. The lady said, well, I know him too because he fixed my closet door. That door wouldn't close right, and he came down and fixed. And they said, now this, he can't be anointed because he was a carpenter. Now what's going on here? Now watch this. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kinfolk and in his own house. You see what I'm saying? Now notice, on one place, people pressing in and touching him and getting healed of something the doctors said you can't get healed of. You're just going to die. In other words, call your relatives and let them know that you don't have long. But then Jesus healed her by the anointing. And now he goes up to his own kinfolk. Family, people who know it. And he can't get anything done there. Look at the next verse. He said, and he could there do no mighty work save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. This is people with headaches. Look at Matthew 15:29. He says this, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were blind or lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And he cast them down at Jesus' feet. And what did he do with them? He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. I want you to see that same series of verses in the Message translation, please. After Jesus returned, he walked along the Lake of Galilee and then climbed a mountain and took his place ready to receive visitors. They came, tons of them, bringing along with them the paraplegic, the blind, the maimed, and mute, all sorts of people in need, and more or less threw them down at Jesus' feet to see what he would do with them. And he healed them. And when the people saw the mute speaking, the maimed healthy, the paraplegic walking around, the blind looking around, they were astonished and let everyone know that God was blazing alive among them. Isn't that powerful? Now let's come back to that verse there in Mark chapter 6. And he could there do no mighty works, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Now what was the difference? He's still anointed. Same anointing that was on him there was on him healing people who had lost their arm. But up here, he can't do anything but lay his hands on somebody and get a headache healed. Was it him? Who was it? He marveled because of their unbelief. Now, to get Jesus to marvel, you got to have some kind of unbelief. Now, why am I saying that? Because I'm anointed. I better go over here. I'm anointed. And people come in here. I'm not not sure what they're looking for. But I think religiously they look for another sermon. But that's not what's supposed to happen. Whatever you got, the anointing is supposed to remove it if it's not of God. Now, y'all gonna get this here. Because my job is to prosper you. It is to help you reach your destiny. God has a gifting in you and a prophetic call on you. And he wants you to get there. And I come and I say things sometimes and so forth. And you wonder, say, man, I'm getting stuff right off the throne. You know how them rap people get something off the dome? I'm getting something right off the throne. And you look for people to, whoa, take that thing and use it to remove a burden or destroy yoke. And you wonder what happened. Because I'm getting letters from people saying, Pastor, I moved a business. You told me what to do, and I got a business. The first year, it was $1 million, and 4 years later, we had $17 million. Pastor, I'm over in South Africa, people working this word, and so forth. I'm saying, what up? I said, what up? Y'all with me? Whatever condition you got, you shouldn't have that same condition if you've been coming up in here. Is it the right bunch I'm talking to? God has a destiny for your life. And don't be looking at yourself and say, well, I've been in jail. Well, I've been married 5 times. So what? That's in your past. God's talking about your future. And who he chooses, he cleans them up and makes them ready for this mission. And I'm telling you right now, you got something bubbling up inside of you, and you got the anointing on you. Now, what does that anointing do? It empowers your gift. You see, the world has gifts, and that's what you see downtown. They're building stuff like I don't know what. But suppose somebody come in and has a gift plus. Gift plus an empowerment. You will outrun that world, come in. It doesn't make any difference. And I'm saying that's my job. It's to teach you how to get into that anointing and do what no other man can do so that people will see your God and glorify him. Stop trying to disqualify yourself. Stop trying. The enemy wants you to leave this earth without your stuff. He said over in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 19, here the children of Israel, and they were about to leave Egypt, and this is what God said. He said, I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand, but I'm going to stretch out my hand. I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that, he will let you go. And I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you come, it'll come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. I'm here to tell you right now, God doesn't want you to leave this earth empty. He does not want you to leave this earth without your healing, without your deliverance, without your husband, without your wife, without your family, without your business, without everything that he died to provide. You look at these Cain's example. You look at 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1 and watch what he says. This is the prophet of God. He's just like myself. He said, Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. Now, you know Elijah was anointed because in 2 Kings chapter 13, a man had gotten killed in the war and they didn't have time to bury him. So they threw him in this grave, and in the grave was Elijah's bones. The man hit them bones and got up and started walking. I'm here to tell you that Elijah was anointed, David was anointed, Paul was anointed, Jesus was anointed, I'm anointed, you are anointed. And the word of the Lord came and he said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour is going to be sold for a shekel. And two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, once he said that, that was impossible. Why? Because they had been starving to death for days. It might have been even months. But now things are going down to a place where one woman is boiling a baby and feeding him and they go boil the other baby. I mean, things have gotten hopeless. And when things are hopeless, people destroy lives. And so what happened? God is coming in with some hope. He said, tomorrow, about this time. But when he spoke it under the anointing of a prophet. And the prophet spoke something. He said, by this time, tomorrow, I'm talking about something that is virtually impossible. He said, it's going to be plenty and it's going to be cheap. Look at the second verse. He said, the officer assisting the king said unto the man of God, that couldn't happen. Even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elijah replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. I'm just saying, if you got somebody beside you, that as quickly as I speak these words, that they'd learn to you and say, y'all don't believe all that, do you? You need to turn your head the other way and don't even acknowledge that they spoke to you. I'm saying the time for us getting unbelief and letting it pull us out of the promises of God is over. Folks, there is something called a prophetic agenda. There is something called a prophetic agenda. In a prophetic agenda, nothing you can do can stop it. See, there's a prophetic agenda. Jesus spoke it. He said this, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to be able to stop it. Folks, I don't care what the devil's got. I don't care if he got money. I don't care if he got deception. He is not going to be able to stop you from getting to your destiny. Sit down. Verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why are we going to sit here till we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then there's famine in the city. And we'll die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die. Well, therefore, come. Let's fall into the host of Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die. And they arose up at twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come into the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear noises of chariots and noises of horses, even a great noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come on us. Let's get out of here. Wherefore they arose and fled at twilight. God will make you run when ain't nobody chasing. All he needs is for you to do is get up and start moving on the word that the prophet has spoken. He left their tents, their horses. They had left their donkeys and the camp as it was and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they said, they went into one of the tents and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment. And they went and hid it, and then they came again and ate some spaghetti and some neck bones and some collard greens and candied yams and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and they went and hid it. Watch this. And they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is the day of good tidings, the gospel. And we hold our peace. And if we tarry till the morning light, something mischief may come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Well, I don't need to tell you what happened. They went to tell the king, and the king said, "It's a trick." I said, "It's a trick." See, folks always trying to find something wrong with what the prophet said. Yes. It's a trick. It ain't no trick. Amen. It's the truth. Yes. So I'm saying to you, they got blessed, went back to king, sent out just a group first to find out whether it was true, and found out it was true, and everybody rushed out, and the famine was released in one 24-hour period of time. Millionaires were made in the camp. Folks, don't tell me what God can't do. A prophetic word. One word from God will change your life forever. So God wants you to have faith in the word, faith in God, and faith in his prophet. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20, in verse 20, here's what he says. "And they rose up early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went forth, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, ye and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. If you believe his prophets, what will happen? You will prosper.'" This anointing. So this anointing comes on you, an empowerment for you to finish the work that God has called you to do. Say amen to that. Now, we're in the last days. So this work of God must be completed. Got it? Now, this is what I call the last day anointing. I call it the latter rain anointing. Speaks about it over in the book of Joel. There is an anointing for vengeance. See? And that's part of the anointing that you carry in this end time church. That nothing standing in your way is going to be able to stop you from reaching your destiny. That through this anointing, the number one job of the Holy Spirit is to deal with anything that is trying to hinder you from getting to your wealthy place. And because vengeance hadn't been preached, we've been victims. See, God is going to put a boatload on you. And when vengeance isn't there, the justice system of God cannot go forth. Lord, have mercy. Y'all stay with me now. See, what God's about to put on you, he's got to protect you. Oh, Lord, get this now, get this. Because this vengeance is the number one job of the Holy Spirit, is whatever's coming to try to rob you, try to assault you, tried to hurt you, then the vengeance of the Lord is going to kick in. That Isaiah 54:17, no weapon. Come on, help me now. Formed against you shall what? Prosper. And every tongue that rises against you. I read you that last time out of the Message translation. Didn't I read it? Here is Joseph, a prophetic destiny. This has got to come to pass. Why? God has chosen Joseph because God knows a famine is coming. Man, he chooses who he chooses. So let's start reading here at Genesis chapter 37. Now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because it was a son of his old age. And he made him a coat of how many colors? Many colors. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance or bowed down to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his deeds and for his words. Now, I want to stop right here. God is restoring the Eden mandate. Y'all with me? Now, what did he say in Eden? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Say dominion.
Dominion.
Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He saw dominion. He saw what God has called us to be. And it began to talk like that. See, if you see yourself big, you'll talk big. And so he began to talk like that. And when he did, his brothers got envious of him. Now understand, what I preached the other night, on Wednesday night, I preach faith for the family. Faith for the family. You see, a lot of times we use faith for ourselves. I need a house, I need a car, I need a new job, so forth. Wait. I showed them several times where God called it great faith. And each time it seems like they were using faith for the family. They weren't using faith for them. That was, one man was using faith for a servant. Another lady was using faith for her daughter. Another lady, so forth and so on. And I said, listen, we got to get back to using faith for the family. I said, it's amazing how many people in this generation seem to be, it's all about me. But that wasn't what it was back in the day. In the day, it was all about my kids. In the day, it was all about somebody else in the family that I want to make sure that they make it. Because I've spent some time and work, and I want to make sure they're going to benefit by what I've done. Say amen, somebody. And I'm saying that what we need to do is understand that the body of Christ, when Peter got put in jail, he was in jail. The Bible said the next day they were going to cut his head off. But the church prayed unceasingly. They didn't stop at sundown. They kept praying at midnight. They kept praying at 2 o'clock. They kept praying at 3 o'clock. Why? They were going to pray till something happened. And I'm telling you, any saint of God in this church, they should have family, because your family doesn't stop with your kids. Your family stops with the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, folks, when somebody gets in trouble, somebody else ought to be on their knees, because I got a feeling that whatever you got, we can get rid of it. if we'll just come together. Say amen. Look at Psalm chapter 8, starting at verse 5 in the Message translation, please. Yet we've so narrowly missed being God. It's talking about you. Bright with Eden's dawn light, you put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us, watch this, the Genesis charge. Made us lords over of sheep and cattle, even animals out of the wild, birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean deeps. Glory to God. God, brilliant Lord, your name echoes around the world. But what I'm trying to say is, look, he's repeating the Eden mandate. See, he's saying, wait a minute, I made you a little lower than me are, than I am. Then you're supposed to have dominion over this thing. Start at verse 3, please. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you think about him? For you have made him a little lower than who? Angels, which is translated God, and has crowned him with what? Glory and honor. Keep going. And you've made him to have what? Dominion over the works of your hand. And you put what? All things under his feet. What's under your feet? Everything God made is under your feet. Question, did God make Lucifer? Where is he? Here, Satan is under your feet. All right, now watch this. Let's come back to Joseph again. I'm ending. So now in Genesis and chapter 37 again, and he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to you? To the earth. And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the same. What happened? A prophetic agenda. Something's coming. But I got to prepare a Joseph. Do you hear what I'm saying here? And I'm saying, notice what happened. His brothers got envious of him instead of praying for him. Because if they could have blessed him, they could have gotten blessed. But no, somebody driving a new car, get mad about it. Somebody get a new house, not even complimenting him. Somebody's moving up into promotion, don't even congratulate him. Why? The church full of envy. Well, those days are over. You're not going to be full of envy anymore because you got your own gift. Say amen. And God's going to empower you to do something. So the last thing, what happened? Joseph goes down, and he goes down. They're going to kill him at first, but they decide to sell it and sell him to the traveling band of Ishmaelites, merchantmen, businessmen. They sold him, and here he is in chains. He's going down in chains, but God is still with him. Amen. Come on, that anointing is still on him. Say amen to that. And I'm saying it may look bad for you right now, but the anointing of vengeance is going to work on your behalf. God's justice system is going to work for you. Now, what happened? God couldn't leave him up there with his brothers. For the same reason Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown. Why? Because that anointing didn't have an environment that would bring forth that most powerful gift. Say amen. And sometimes you got to move out of where you are. Sometimes, come on, you got to change positions. Come on, sometimes you got to go another place. But let me tell you, he had to go to an environment that was most conducive for that anointing to kick in, watch this, and bring forth the most powerful economy that the world had ever seen. Did he do it? Yes, he did it. And I'm telling you, God's got something for you. Watch this. You may be in chains right now, but notice God said over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, he said, vengeance is mine, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. Now, I'm saying to you, don't get moved by what you see. God has a destiny for your life, and I decree you're going to make it to your destiny, that the world is going to know who you are.
Well, I trust that you were blessed by that powerful message. Now, today is offering day on the broadcast. It's a time where we give the viewing audience, our partners, or those who have been blessed by our broadcast, just an opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. We take your seed that you've sown and we do the things of the kingdom with it, the things that we're doing here in the broadcast and the visits that we're making to certain nations and so forth and so on like that. But it helps us to keep this ministry going on a level that God expects us to produce it. Now, I'd like to call your attention to a scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. Here's what it says. A liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, that fat doesn't have to do with the physical fat, but it's meaning that it shall be made fat, meaning have a lot, have an abundance, have a generous supply. And he that watereth shall be watered himself. I don't know whether you've ever done this, but I've gone to the hospital, let's say, to visit the sick. And you know, I pray for them, and I could walk out of the hospital, I feel like I've just had prayer myself. Why? Because it came through me to bless them. And so it's just like a water hose. If you're going to water the lawn, true enough, the lawn gets wet, but the hose gets wet too. So as this thing comes through you, you get blessed yourself. Here's what Moffat's translation says in that same scripture. He said, one gives away and still grows the richer. In the natural mind, trying to figure that out. Now, wait a second now. How can I give and grow richer? Well, when you do give generously, according to God's word, it's given back to you. But it's not given back to you the same amount. It says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over 30, 60, 100-fold. I'm just saying God wants to bless his people, and the way he does it is through them generously giving seed. So as you sow today, I want you to keep in mind, you're not losing something. You're increasing. So let's get your offerings ready and get that seed ready. Praise God and name it now. Something that you might want to have in your house or in your family or maybe sowing it for the job or new job or whatever have you, car note or whatever have you. Sow it for something. Name that seed. And so as you do that, we're going to sow it and believe God with you that this thing is going to come back to you speedily. Now let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for the privilege of being able to take this broadcast throughout the world. And for those partners, friends, and those who are watching the broadcast and giving into the ministry, thank you for them, Lord, and their generosity. And I pray that, Lord, every one of their needs be met. I pray that as they've sown, they will increase more and more. Now, Father, we prayed it. We believe it's done. And we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for your generous support. We love you. Well, that's all we have for this time. This is Bill Winston saying, keep walking by faith.
Oftentimes, as believers, we are living below the normal level of power and blessings that Jesus died to provide for us. The power of God resides in you and will bring you into a superior level of performance. This power is the anointing, and it's designed to fully equip you to fulfill your destiny. Place a demand on the anointing and start living your life full of victory and dominion. Start living the normal Christian life. In the U.S., call us now at 800-711-9327 or go online to BillWinston.org. Or in Canada, call 844-298-2900. Or go online to BillWinston.ca and order Dr. Winston's series, The Normal Christian Life. In this remarkable teaching, you will be shown how to recognize and use your anointing to defeat the enemy and how to activate the blessing meant for you and your family. And as a special bonus, you can order the Releasing Your Potential bundle, which includes the Normal Christian Life series and Dr. Winston's dynamic mini book, Training for Reigning. Learn to achieve victory by declaring the outcome before the battle even starts. Discover the true power of patience and how to live and reign in righteousness. You will never face anything you cannot overcome. Now is the time to win your battles because you have the authority, the faith, and the anointing. Order this series now and learn to release the potential given to you by the Almighty. Call or go online and receive this limited time offer today.